Welcome to the Think Transition podcast with me, Hugo Langton, and Akusti Salonen, a 10-minute podcast discussing all things football coaching. Hi, and welcome back to the Think Transition podcast. It's the start of season two, so the first episode. So welcome back, Akusti, after a well-earned break.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Excellent stuff. So, listen, we're going today. We're going to delve into the role of the goalkeeper, aren't we? And what they do on the training ground, and the purposes, the thinking, and how can we improve it?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, this is something I have been reflecting a couple of weeks now. If you go to watch the training, you see the goalkeepers are always training isolated from the rest of the team, yeah. Like they are like individual sport memberships. And but end of the day, when the match day is coming, those goalkeepers need to be a first man on build up and the main man when we are defending.
Yeah. So what we're saying is then, why are goalkeepers trained separately to the rest of the team?
Yeah,
that's the question that we're asking when it comes to Saturday afternoon or whenever teams play. They go from during the week from training on their own with no opponent most of the time to suddenly Saturday afternoon, they've got guys trying to kill them and take their head off. And, you know, if they're defending across, there's all of a sudden there's, 12, 14, maybe more players in front of them in the box.
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting part for me is like the goalkeepers basically save the ball shots like 3 to 5 times a game, and they train like those shots in one training maybe 60-80 times. Why? And same time they nowadays the good goalkeepers can be a part of the build up. They have to be a good with feet, but they don't do any passing with the defenders or midfielders.
Do you know what? I was, when I did, about 10, 11 years ago, I did my A license. There was a goalkeeping coach on there from a Premier League side, a very well-known guy. And he actually said to me on day one, this has just popped into my head. He said to me, I don't know why I have to do my outfield goalkeeping license. He goes, all I do is turn up Monday to Friday and kick balls at goalkeepers.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. You teach them to catch the kicks.
Do you think it's is it maybe because people, not just through goalkeeping training, but a lot of the time just in general football training, they follow a very traditional formula. So because goalkeepers are always being coached, as it were, on the training pitch, they've always been taken away from the other members of the team. And they have to perform a series of reactions and saves. And like you said, they're saving maybe. I've seen some videos on Twitter, for example, of clubs. They put up their training and the goalkeepers are making maybe, I don't know, 20 saves in 1 minute.
Yeah. How often they do that in a game?
Which is true. Yeah. I think the other thing that we're sort of touching on here as well is their role within the communication of the team's tactics, aren't we? So if you're training with 10 players all week or 10 outfield players that are going to start Saturday, but then you're starting Saturday with 11, so you're missing one key component, which is your goalkeeper.
Yeah, and that's true. And if you think he normally start the goal kicks or he has catch the long ball, he starts to build up phase. So, in other words, he starts attacking.
Yeah, he starts and the transition.
He's not there during a week and he needs to do a lot of decisions based on the team tactics, but he haven't trained that team tactics or decision-making with the players. So, for me, it's interesting to see. And if you talk about that, for the goalkeeper coach, it's like when you talk to the fitness coach, they are so important in their roles. They can't see anything else and why is it important?
Do you think that I look at good goalkeepers as well now. So let's move to the actual player itself. That they actually, because this is what they all they've ever known, is that they want this isolated training. Now, you know, is there a place for it? Maybe as a warm up for them. So, to catch a few balls, maybe unopposed or isolated. Would you suggest? Would we think maybe? Do you know what? That's okay. 5 minutes warm up for you, then you come into with the rest of the team, for example. Yeah. Because I think there's a balance to be found, because you've got to somehow find. I'm playing devil's advocate here, right? Because I know people that will listen to this will probably go, hey, these two guys aren't goalkeeping coaches. What do they know? But we're talking about logic and objective referencing to the game itself, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not defender coach. I'm not midfielder coach. I'm not attackers coach. I'm head coach of the team. And goalkeeper is part of that team. So I'm also, if we could say, I'm also goalkeeper coach. So, and for me, goalkeeper coach should be the man. Maybe he do something isolated with the goalkeepers on a warm-up to preparing goalkeepers to catch the balls. But after that, he should be a man who understands how the defensive line works. And he should coach the goalkeeper and defenders, and maybe sometimes the midfielders. Mm. And if he's really good goalkeeper coach, he could coach attackers. Because who knows the best where are the most difficult areas for the goalkeeper to score a goal or avoid the scoring goal. So,
because I find that, in England, a lot of the time I hear this thing, the goalkeepers union, you know, it's like they're a separate entity from everybody else where they stick up for each other. And, you know, if a goalkeeper makes a mistake publicly or on television, you know, often on social media, you see goalkeepers, you know, criticizing pundits for talking rubbish or whatever it might be, you know. I just find it really interesting. The more that we're talking about this now, the more I'm thinking that they are almost treated like a separate group, and like you alluded to earlier, a separate sport.
Yeah, yeah. It's like referees. If referee do the mistake, you can't hear any complaining about that mistake from the other referees. And it's same with goalkeeper coach. So they are putting themselves to the place where they are in own island.
Yeah, and they're very protective of each other, which is kind of sweet, I guess.
And also, if you listen to them, you start to notice that they speak in their own language.
Okay, such as
now. I can translate it from Finnish to English, but sometimes you feel like they speak own language. They don't speak same language than the team. Of course, the main points are same, but the football action language is a little bit different than for the field players.
Okay, I understand what you mean. I mean, one thing that I've often thought as well is that, and I've actually said this to some goalkeeping coaches that I've worked with in the past, you know, that listen, we train all week, for example. You train all week with your goalkeeper. You kick balls at him. They might come off things, or you know, there might be inflatable obstacles in the way. But then it comes to Saturday, and all of a sudden they've got a completely different situation where they've spent all week maybe training with nobody in their box apart from some inflatable opponents or some cones or whatever. But on Saturday, all of a sudden, they've got opponents. So, logic would suggest to me that maybe, you know, this is not of the greatest benefit to goalkeepers. And I'm going to give you one example. A few years ago at a club I was at, we took a goalkeeper on loan from a League One club at the time, a professional football club. And I was in non-league football. And the goalkeeper was 19. All right, and the first three games he came in and played, he had very little to do, okay, because we were very dominant within these three games. Yeah. Then game number four, we had a big Boxing Day local derby, all right, and we lost the game 3-2, And after the game, I walked into the changing room and this young goalkeeper sitting in the changing room, looking down with a towel over his head. And I sat next to him and I said, are you okay? And he said, no, I'm not. I said, okay, well talk to me. What are you thinking about? He said, I don't know what happened out there. He said, never have I had to endure a team trying to punch my teeth out, push me into the goal. I couldn't see the ball. And he said, I really, really struggled. I've never experienced anything like this, because he'd obviously come from youth and reserve team football. My words to him were, this is the best day of your life in terms of your development. But it just goes to show, doesn't it, that this goalkeeper wasn't prepared for the real actions of the game.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, the pop-up, how to train goalkeepers. So if you have position games, goalkeeper could be there. He's playing more with his feet, which develops the communication, non-verbal and verbal communication. And also that helps a lot, him to be a part of the team attacking. And when we start playing, let's say 4v4, 5v5 games, you know the area is small and the game, playing time is really short. But think about it, how many attacking, transition and defending actions that goalkeeper gets in that, let's say, 2 minutes game in 5v5.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge number. And if you repeat that four or five times, you really overload him.
Yeah.
In the team training, not isolated training.
Well, this has been an outstanding start, I think, to the new season. And I think hopefully we might try and hear we can provoke some debate and some comments back at us, you know, and be interested to hear what other coaches and, in inverted commas, goalkeeping coaches think about what we're talking about. And it'll be interesting to see what feedback we get now, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And 10, 12 minutes, that's too short time to talk about this topic, but I like it.
Yeah, it's a good topic. So anyway, I think we should wrap it up now. So thanks for listening, guys, and we'll be back again very soon with a new episode.
Thank you for listening to the Think Transition podcast. Mm-hmm.